this exciting scripture of a look into heaven. You know, I think it's fair to say that a lot of us, we get weighed down with the pressures of this life. But one day, the pressures of this life will be evaporated and we will be at perfect peace and in the presence of the Lord forever. Last October, Jane and I were in Dubai, and one evening we had to get a special passport because we had a meal in the sky, and we were 50 meters from the ground, dangling on the end of a crane, and you can see the photograph there. And I've got to say, we enjoyed the meal, but I was quite nervous. You know, we were up there. Jane was very relaxed. You know, she was, you know, fantastic. But I was quite nervous, and I was holding on to my knife and fork, and I wasn't smiling. And the waiter was taking photographs, and Jane was saying, "Relax, relax. We're 50 meters up in the sky on the end of this crane." If anybody wants to see a little video clip of that later on, let me know, or Jane, and we will show you. But the event reminded me that one day we will partake in a sumptuous meal that the Bible calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we will live forever in glory. Heaven is, and heaven will be, a wonderful place. And whilst we might call it heaven now, one day we will call it home, because that is where every believing saint will be. There's an old gospel song that says, "I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun way beyond the blue." Now this morning I want us to consider the blessings of heaven, because all believers can say that I've got a home in glory land. I've really been blessed as I've been looking at these scriptures and getting excited about where I will be one day, my eternal home. And I hope, I trust, that a little bit of my excitement can rub off onto all of us this morning. My sermon notes this morning are on these coasters, if you've got one. Hopefully you got one of these when you came into church this morning. If you didn't, please see Louis at the back after the meeting. Got 3 points this morning, and the first one relates to the gates of heaven. And in Revelation 21, we started there at verse 5, and the Lord reminds us that he is in control, and he will make everything brand new. And as soon as God makes this statement, that promise, he says, "It is done." And with that simple statement, God pronounces the end to a world as we would know it. All the turmoil, all the strife, all the uncertainty, and proclaims that there will be a new world with its glory and its splendor. In verse 25 of chapter 21, John records that the city has gates to control who comes in. And these gates permit or allow those who have received from the fountain of the water of life in verses 6 and 7. And these gates allow all those who are overcomers to come through. We know that heaven is only open to those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the water of life. In John 7 and 37, it says, words of Jesus, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And our faith in Christ makes us to be overcomers. In John 10 and in verse 9, again, words of Jesus, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is that gateway, that doorway to heaven. To reject Jesus simply means that an individual is not saved. And in 1 John 8:24, it says, again, words of Jesus, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Harsh words from our Lord. But as we read in Revelation, not everybody will be allowed into heaven. And those who have rejected Christ will be sent, as it says, to the lake of fire, 21:8 in Revelation. So who will not be allowed into heaven? Jane read to us that list in Revelation 21 from verse 8. There's a whole list of people there, the cowardly, the unbelievers, the abominable, murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars. You know, we could be spending weeks and weeks on this topic. But we know that God is patient, God is gracious, and no one is beyond redemption. But those who reject God's offer of salvation through Jesus face a lost eternity. They will not be allowed into those gates, into heaven. But the good news for people who are outside at this moment in time, you know, we often say we are living in the days of grace, and that is true. There is still opportunity to get right with God. It's not too late. Second point is that of the glories of heaven. Now, having told us that how to enter through the gates, John now shares some detail about heaven itself. Currently, our homes, and probably the homes of most of the cities around the globe, require some source of light. And if it were not for the sun and the moon and the lighting systems that mankind has developed throughout the years, this world would be a very dark place when night falls. South Africans amongst us know all about load shedding. When the power goes off, there is no light. Praise the Lord, there is no load shedding in heaven. It will be the complete opposite, because our eternal home will be brilliantly lit by the glory of God. It's a lovely verse in Isaiah 60 and 19. It says this, "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be in you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory. Isn't that a wonderful verse? And John describes the city as being like a jasper stone. The jasper stone resembles that of a diamond. And the city will be like a diamond in appearance as it reflects the glory of God. Imagine a world where the glory of God is the only light. What a magnificent picture that is. No other light would be required, not even the sun. We're told that an angel, the next slide please, an angel with a golden reed comes to measure the city. And we are told that the city is built like a square at the bottom. It's equal on all sides. We are told that the city measures 12,000 furlongs on each side, as tall as it is wide. It's a cube. 12,000 furlongs translate to approximately 1,400 miles. It's quite an area. So I did a little drawing. From Guernsey, if you go in an easterly direction, the length would be as far as the Ukraine, almost touching Moldova. And if we went south from Guernsey, that length would reach Algeria, level with Morocco. That's quite a square. It's more amazing that it's also 1,400 miles high. Imagine that. It's quite a cube. I wonder if the kingdom of Saudi Arabia has been inspired by this scripture. Because, you know, they're building a city at the moment. It's called The Line. Some of you will know about it. It's a visionary project, part of the NEOM development. And in Saudi, at the moment, there are two skyscrapers, 170 kilometers long, 200 meters wide, and 500 meters high. And 9 million people will live on this line by 2030. And it will be the most eco-friendly place on the planet. No roads, no cars or emissions, and will be run by 100% renewable energy. I wonder if the leaders of the Kingdom of Saudi have been looking at this scripture in Revelation. Friends, going back to heaven, imagine a city with room for everyone. No dangerous areas, no gang fights, no wrong side of town. Imagine a city of beauty, of sinlessness, perfection. And if we can only just get a snippet of imagination of what heaven is going to be like, then it's a real blessing. In verses 19 and 20 in Revelation 21, John tells us that the city rests on a foundation made of precious gemstones. We heard those gemstones read to us this morning. Again, we could spend hours and hours and hours looking into these precious stones. And those stones only make up the foundation of this kingdom. But these stones speak of God and his character in quite some way. We cannot understand everything they represent in the here and now. But one day we will understand everything. in an entirety when we arrive in heaven. Imagine, if you will, the next slide, please, a city that gleams with the brilliance of God's glory. Imagine the pure light that shines through those diamonds, reflecting off that golden street, through the multicolored precious stones. It will be a glorious sight to behold. In verse 21 of Revelation 21, we are told that the city, the gates, are made of pearls. A pearl, in many ways, is formed out of pain. We know that on the island. A grain of sand gets trapped in an oyster. The sand irritates the oyster, and the oyster begins to build up a layer after layer after layer of calcium around that grain of sand. And after a long time, that pearl is beautifully formed. And pearls are the only gemstones made by living things. The pearl is the oyster's answer to its pain. And those gates remind us of that while salvation and heaven it provides are free, it is definitely not cheap. Everything we have was born out of the pain of our Savior on the cross when he died for us at Calvary. Every moment in that eternal city will be a reminder of the price that Jesus paid for us. Also in verse 21, we are told that the street of heaven will be glorious to behold. We will walk about on a pavement or a street made of pure gold. What makes this gold so precious? Well, we know that we're told that this gold is as transparent as glass. When gold is mined, it is never found in that condition. It has to be refined. And we know the refiner's fire story in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul talks about all our works will go through the fire. They'll be tested. And what will come out will be that refined work at the end result. And in this city, this gold has already been refined, and it represents a gold that no one has ever seen before. What a city awaits the life of a believer when this life on this earth comes to an end. None of the many afflictions that we face in the here and now we will face in glory. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more lying, no more pain, no more stress. Every saint of God will enjoy the perfections of that city, along with the incredible presence of our Savior and our Heavenly Father. I can't wait to get to that position. And thirdly, we have the guarantees of heaven. And as we move through these verses, even more of the wonders of heaven are displayed for us to consider. You know, today we worship in churches constructed by the hands made of men. Carmel Chapel is no exception, no different to hundreds of thousands of churches around the globe. In heaven, there will be no need for buildings or mediators, because we will have direct access to God. In Revelation 21 and 3, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." What a day that will be. And we will enjoy a fresh and a new intimacy with God when we arrive in heaven. We will see God. And we read that his name will be written on our foreheads. And we will serve him in perfect righteousness and holiness. We cannot do that today. Too many things come between us and the Lord. Too many things hinder our service to God. Too many things hinder our intimacy with him. But none of these things will hinder us when we get to glory. In Revelation 22, the first five verses there, we see a few glimpses of the sights of that city. They reveal the grandeur, as it were, of our heavenly home. Have you ever seen the program Grand Designs, the property development and transforming a property that needs a lot of work on to get a fabulous end result? That will be nothing compared to heaven. We're told in verse 1, there's a river, pure, a crystal river that flows from God's throne. The throne is the source of life. And that river, as it flows, symbolizes the life it provides. Peace, prosperity, and pleasure. And this river is filled with the water of life, symbolizing again the unending flow of everlasting life to those who believe in Jesus, flowing from the throne of God. And then we are told there's the tree of life in verse 2. In the New Jerusalem, man will have access to the tree of life. We know that when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he was removed from the garden. In heaven, there will be that restoration. And this wonderful tree will yield its fruit every month of the year. Reminds us that heaven will be a place of plenty. You know, obtaining food has been one of man's chief occupations. I was thinking of the dear people that Jane and I came across, you know, a few weeks ago when we were on those feeding lines and the queues in South Africa. Those people didn't know when the next meal was coming from. If they are believers and when they get to heaven, there will be no queuing for food. There will be plenty. There will be sufficient. What a place that will be. And then we are told that in verse 2 also, that the leaves of the tree will be used for the healing of the nations. Now, from a human perspective, if ever there was a time when these leaves were needed, it would be today. However, within God's perfect timeline, this is not for now. This is reserved for a day yet to be in heaven. The healing, as it were, will not be so much physical, because we saw in Revelation 21:4, there is no sickness or disease in heaven. The word here, translated healing, is that where we get the word therapeutic, and it means service being rendered to someone else. And the leaves are therefore to enrich heavenly life, making it complete and satisfying. Then our last slide, please. In verse 5, we are told that night will be banished. The darkness that haunts this world will be no more. No more dark hours where the prince of darkness can do his wicked works. No one will need a candle to stop them from stumbling. No darkness, either in a physical way or a spiritual way, will be allowed in heaven. Nothing that defiles now will be allowed into heaven. And so in conclusion this morning, I wish I could describe heaven and give it the description it deserves. But my vocabulary, my intelligence, and my lack of information restricts me from doing so. But what we read in Scripture about that place sounds like a place I want to spend eternity. No queuing, no visa questions, no passport controls, straight through. For those who know Jesus, let's thank God for what we have in the here and now, but what is ready and being prepared for us in heaven. For those who are outside of the kingdom at this moment in time, those who have never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, those of us who know the Lord, this is the message that we need to be taking outside, because we are still living in the days of grace. There is still opportunity for people to get right with God. Friends, we need to rejoice this morning because we have a home in glory land that outshines the sun way beyond the blue. And my prayer is this morning that we will get excited of where we will spend eternity. Amen.